begotten Reich. Tief nicht für Narayana.
Ladies and gentlemen, as we spoke this morning, or rather we spoke in two this morning, both about the importance of the judiciary and about optimism or pessimism, I think I might as well begin what I have to say this afternoon with an anecdote which happened in Havana in 1893. There was a mulatto there who owned the newspaper. And he was campaigning for the separation of Cuba from Spain, which was named Metropolis, but without any armed fight, by mutual and friendly agreement. The Spanish authorities prosecuted him for sedition, and he was sentenced to 2 years imprisonment and the loss of his newspaper. He appealed to the higher court, and the case was finally heard in Madrid by the Supreme Court, which sentenced that that man might not wish to be a Spaniard, but was a Spaniard, for the time being anyhow, and that the Spanish constitution allowed complete freedom of expression of ideas, that the lower court had made a mistake, and that the man had to be freed at once and given back his newspaper, which was done. I submit to you, without engaging in any way whether I am a pessimist or an optimist, but as a matter of fact, that what happened in Havana and in Madrid in 1893 could not happen today. That Castro on the left and Franco on the right see to it that there is absolutely no guarantee whatsoever of law, of right, for either Cubans or Spaniards. This so far for progress. As for the actual debate, I believe that there is in the very wealth of ideas that we have been given in writing in my webinar, there is a certain risk of confusion. In my mind, the fundamental difference between liberalism and democracy is that liberalism is a spirit and democracy is a piece of machinery. Democracy is one of the many forms for organizing the state, the aim of which is to select a government. A government has to be an oligarchy, since oligarch means small, few, and the few must govern the many, whatever happens, and should be an aristocracy, if by aristocracy we mean what ought to be meant by it, namely the better people, the best people in every way. And whether democracy is a good or a bad system for ensuring that the oligarchy is an aristocracy, that is really not a matter of principle at all, but a purely empirical affair. It may be wonderful in one place, it may be less wonderful in another. As for that, I may have to say a few words a little later on. The next confusion is, I think, between present and future. Instinctively, we visualize a democracy in its perfect form, namely a government in which everybody is enlightened, everybody is generous, everybody thinks of his neighbor, everybody fulfills the law. But in fact, in the present, we are not there yet. And therefore, these methods that we envisage for a perfect democracy may or may not be good or bad for the present state. If this aspect of things merges into the next ways and means, it may be that the means to ensure a perfect democracy may not fit our conception of a perfect democracy in the present state. It may be that if we apply at once the perfect methods of the perfect democracy, what we shall ensure is the suicide of the said democracy, as it may very well happen, as it happened, for instance, in Germany under Hitler, who bravely, because I think that for trained minds such as you are, Mr. Price, I could put it in this way. A nation is not the sum arithmetic of its individuals. A nation is the integration of its institutions. And in this way, the Mussolinis, Hitler, Stalin, Lenin, Franco, and Tati, who said that you've got 99% white, if I remember right, Franco once even had 105%. If I have 99% of the vote, I am the more democratic of the two. No, you are the more statistically democratic of the two. But you are not organically democratic. You must have the institutions. Where are your institutions? And the first endeavor of a dictator is to abolish institutions so as to find himself exactly and directly backed by the mass. A mass which it is extraordinarily difficult to control organically, very easily to control statistically. Finally, what seems to me to be the worst confusion of all is that in very nearly all our discussions on liberalism and democracy and on any other aspect of political science, we are perhaps far too much under the imperium of political and juridical ideas. Democracy is this or should be that. Liberalism is this or should be that. Bacon once, if I remember right, praised Machiavelli for having drawn the attention of people not to politics as they should be, but to politics as they are. Now, I think it's time we turn to politics as a natural science, very much as we could study the science of the behavior of bees. What is it actually that happens? We have to go directly, or delve, if you like, under politics, onto the level of psychology on which all the roots of politics are implanted. I'll give you, only in passing, an example of what I mean. I was told in Mexico that there was in a small community there, in a municipal council there, a discussion on the proposal presented by a Spanish member of the council. In Spanish-American countries, Spaniards are very often admitted to public office without inquiring whether they are native or not. Same thing happens with Spanish-Americans in Spain. And he was there, municipal council, although a Spaniard, and he presented a proposal that a lamp should be erected at the corner of particular two streets. And after a debate which lasted a good 2 hours, the chairman decided to put the matter to the vote. And everybody voted yes, 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 until they came to the final vote, voter who was Hispanic. And he voted no. The chairman said, extraordinary, you are the author of the proposal. Oh, he said, yes, but I hate unanimity. Well, this, on the whole, is rather a good liberal spirit, I must say. But this kind of psychology, the psychological aspect of the human being we're dealing with, is essential for our part. Now, suppose that you are somewhere in Europe, and I say Europe to limit the problem, and all the European states are there represented by a synthetic man who absorbs in him all the psychological features of his country, and a problem is thrown on the table. And the likelihood is that those Europeans will split into those who say what is to be done and those who say who is to do it. And that is the fundamental cleavage, I believe, for all liberal democratic affairs. The what people and the who people are the two fundamental people in practical biological politics. The what people are the objective people. The people who are interested in res publica, and therefore those that might be described as a natural republic, no matter whether they feel monarchists and bow before highnesses and majesty. They are the natural republicans. And the others, they are interested in the I personality, in the person, and therefore we can consider them as natural monarchies. Well, my theorem to you is that for a nation to succeed in its political life, whether its form of state is republican or monarchist, that nation must be a natural republican. the externals of liberal and democracy, we should try to endeavor to make the natural markets, who are the difficult customers in this, those who neither, who cannot succeed either under republics or under monarchies, and who usually fall into dictatorships. We ought to make these people understand that the way to success is not by universal suffrage or lack of it, not by monarchy or republic, not by this or that trick of machinery, but by objectivity, or else natural republicanism, in the conduct of their own affairs. It seems to me that that is where the important question arises. One word only, before I end and conclude, about what Monsieur Bourget has said about the way nations go into dictatorship. It seems to me he has forgotten the army. The armed forces. Now, the armed forces are a delegation of the Volonté Générale. But if the Volonté Générale splits, and the army splits, as it's happening now in Brazil, and happened a few years ago in another country, which is far nearer to me personally, then you are in for a civil war. And then, if a country, once the country is saved by a general, she is finished. As for optimism, let me tell you. Every time a problem has been studied in Europe, no matter what, that had anything to do with politics or economics, the Commission has ended in saying, we must liberalize this. Isn't that an optimistic word for all liberals?